Good morning, Wisconsin. Morning, world. It's a new day, and thank you for kicking it off with us here at 97.5 FM, 1320 AM, WFHR. We are locally grown radio. Got Seth, Melissa, and James here with you at 9.04 on the clock. We hope you're having a great start to your Thursday out there. Happy Friday Eve.
That's right.
It's a good one. It is.
Mm-hmm. We got fun stuff coming up. We will get into our our Then I Write Stories, Good Stories of the Day. Mm-hmm. I also want to talk about the Lights of Love event going on with Aspyrus with Seth. Mm-hmm. We'll get to that as well. And we got the Green Bay giveaway to remind people about.
That's
and things
right.
like that. All kinds of stuff. Want to get into the Radiothon as well. So much to do. Mm-hmm. And Then I Write Stories and Good Stories of the Day as well. But we were doing this, I think, a couple shows ago together, when we got together, these old wives' tales and these myths about them. Now, one of the things that I did want to address is the term old wives' tale.
Okay.
It is, by all rights, a term that we probably shouldn't be using, really.
probably not.
If you're if you're using it with the intent of the way it started, if you are using it like people like myself that did not realize that it had a dark past.
Let's put it that way, yeah.
But the oldest, earliest known use of the phrase "old wives' tale" is in English comes from 1572. Mm. Now, they're not sure if that's the oldest form of it, though.
Right.
Just in English, mm-hmm. which is kind of interesting if you think about it, how far this might go back. I mean,
exactly.
1572 is already pretty far.
Yeah.
Now, back in those days, obviously, men were idiots. They thought that women were gullible and superstitious and these kind of things. Mm-hmm. So, we can't trust what they're saying. You know, these are just old wives' tales. These are old wives' tales.
Yeah, right.
That kind of thing.
Yeah.
Obviously, incredibly insanely stupid, like dumb and ridiculous and everything. And I'm not going to mince words about this one. That's a horrible, dark part of our history, the way we treated the other half of our population.
But let's also keep this in mind. Yes. Yeah, women, they're superstitious and everything. Now let me put these socks on my hands so my team will win.
Yes, exactly. Yes, yes, exactly. Yes.
So, I mean, come on.
I have to stay in this position because my team was losing and then they started winning right when I got in this position. The Chicago Blackhawks first Stanley Cup Finals run.
Mm-hmm.
Chris and I are watching game one and things aren't going well. And him and I, one of the things we would do, we want the game on, but I don't want the game to ruin, take every little bit of my moment. We didn't get to hang out much. So we're sitting there talking about fish tanks. And we start looking up all these extravagant, cool fish tanks around the world. And Patrick Kane scores a goal. So guess what Chris and I did for the next seven games?
Fish video. Research fish tanks?
Yep. Yep. They won. And so
oh, my
it worked.
Goodness. Oh, my goodness.
So, yeah. There's Seth's point. Even in 2022.
Hot kettle black.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, we see that, yeah.
But I did think that it was worth talking about. I did think that it was worth at least talking about, not, burying it under the sand or anything
exactly.
like that. Exactly. Now, let's get into some of these, though. And are they myth or are they true? Like, if you pull out a gray hair, two or more will take its place.
That's a common one I've heard.
Yeah.
Actually, I've never heard that one.
Oh,
that's new
yeah,
on me. Yeah,
yeah.
Yeah.
As soon as I started going white, that's what they told me. Yes, yeah. As Dr. Shashank Kraletti, UAMS family and Previant medicine physician explained, plucking a gray hair will only get you a new gray hair in its place because there is only one hair that is able to grow per follicle. It's called science.
It's physically impossible to get two hairs out of one follicle. It does not work that way.
Here's one that I always thought was true growing up and everything. Eating carrots will drastically improve your eyesight. Let me just clear my contact a little bit here as I look at that.
Oh, didn't work.
Yeah. Spoiler alert, everybody. This tale is said to have roots in a bit of military propaganda during World War II, supposedly in an attempt to trick German Nazis into thinking the British had superior eyesight. The British Ministry of Information created a propaganda campaign that included a tidbit that eating a lot of carrots, quote, helped the British see in the dark, even during blackouts. This worked. Not only that, along with all the crazy, insane things that Hitler did and everything.
Yeah, right.
This was among the things that he would get his people to be doing and stuff.
Like, yeah, that's right.
You got to be doing this, everybody. If you're not
carrots. Eat more carrots.
Eat more carrots. That'll certainly make everything all better. Yeah. That's what you get for following a madman.
Yeah, that is it. Yep.
Let's see here. That's where that one kind of came from. And not true. Obviously not true. Although carrots can be great for you, they won't drastically improve your eyesight or give you night vision.
No. That's a good vitamin.
Amazing how propaganda can pervert, you know, actual fact.
Yeah.
Yeah, how that became. Isn't that funny?
And that it's still carrying on today.
I was just going to say, you know, the part of it that brings me right back to reality is how that it still works. Like, that stuff still works. That people are still doing that stuff. Your body can only convert so much beta carotene at a time, and once your body has enough of it, it'll stop converting it to vitamin A. So you are not going to become you're not the next superhero with a special
Daredevil. You're not going to be Daredevil. Yeah. No,
I think you'd actually turn orange first, because you can. If you eat too many carrots, your skin, you can turn orange.
If you eat too many orange carrots, you can eat other colored carrots. Mix it up a little bit.
Interesting.
There you go.
You know, and boy, I just had a teenage moment there because I'm like, oh, wait a minute. I wonder if I should try that. I love the color orange. sitting too close to the television will make it go blind. This is another old warning that isn't totally true. Chances are it's rooted in parents' genuine concern that their close exposure to the bright colors and lights of a television could be harmful to a child's eyes. Mm-hmm. According to the American Academy of Orthopology, sitting too close to the TV won't cause blindness, but it could cause temporary eye strain, which commonly occurs when your eyes are tired after you've used them intensely for a prolonged period of time. This is from the Mayo Clinic and plenty of other great sources. So, you know, maybe not 100% true, still not good for you.
Right. Or staring at any screen for any length of time, I guess, is part of that issue. So, yeah.
Yeah. But like Seth said, TVs are bigger now. So if you're sitting really close to them, your eyes got to go back and forth a lot to try to see everything.
So, yeah, you'll get some eye strain. I think so. Yeah.
My grandma Ruth always would come and she'd get right in front of the TV and she'd start taking those, you know, heel to toe steps towards us because we had to be at least 5 heel to toe steps away from the TV.
Wow. That's
I'll amazing. Never forget her doing that.
That's hilarious.
My papa would, Jimmy, your head makes a better head than a window or whatever.
Window than a door.
Window than a door.
Makes a better door than a window. There
you go. Yep.
Before he even finished the phrase, I was up and moving. Like,
You knew where it was going.
I'm pretty sure I've used that on my kids.
That's a good one. It's a good one. It worked on me. How about this one? Shaving your hair makes it grow back thicker and coarser.
Oh, I've heard this one many, many times.
Mm-hmm. Well, and usually about like shaving, not necessarily the hair on your head.
Right.
Other parts of your body.
Body hair, we'll say.
Body hair.
Shaving body hair doesn't make your hair grow back thicker or coarser. However, it's pretty common for people to feel like it does. Mm. As licensed medical esthetician Jordan Metatali of Complete Skin MD told Dermaflash, cutting or shaving slices away of the tip of a hair, which is tapered at the end, those short hairs, when they continue to grow past the surface of the skin, aren't tapered anymore, so we perceive them temporarily, this temporary process to be that the hair is thicker.
Oh, it's an optical illusion.
Yeah.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah, that is very
interesting. Or a tactile illusion.
Yeah, that's right. That's a good way of putting it. Yeah,
very good way. Yeah. I don't think we did this one before, did we, you guys? If you swallow gum, it stays in your intestine for 7 years?
I think we did.
I thought so. I thought we did that one. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
We debunked that one. Yeah, that one. A long time ago,
that one was debunked.
What about the apple a day keeping the doctor away? I don't think we did that one.
I don't remember. No, I don't think so.
It's worth going over again.
I agree.
That's one commonly said.
Per Medical News Today, this phrase supposedly has its roots in a decades-old saying from Wales that was originally, eat an apple on going to bed, and you'll keep the doctor from earning his bread.
Jeez.
Wow.
It's kind of a negative way of doing that, negative, but that's kind of funny.
Kind of a reach to get a rhyme, but not bad. Not bad. Not bad lyrics. Yeah.
It sounds better in the original Welsh.
No, right, yeah. Right. Yeah.
Probably. Yeah. Yeah, probably.
It sounds a lot better with a backbeat. You know, you have to. Yeah, and then you get into it. It's there. Nicely, Seth. Nice job.
Beatboxing.
Yeah, thank you for that. It's true that there are health benefits to eating apples. They contain lots of vitamins and can be beneficial to your heart's health. We've seen so much great data come up that lately. Even brain health we've seen with this. But not enough to prevent you from needing to see a doctor. Let's not get crazy here.
Oh, I think I broke my leg. Here, eat this apple. You'll be fine.
If you're still pushing back on this, I got this 2005 review published by JAMA International Medicine, looked at national nutrition data collected from 8,399 people. They were just missing one person. They could have got 8,400. What happened there? What happened there?
They didn't show up that day. Yeah,
753 of
called
which...
called in sick.
Oh, that was awesome.
753 of which typically ate a small apple every day. It did not support the idea that eating an apple a day will keep the doctor away or stop someone from getting sick. The study noted that small fraction of the U.S. adults who eat an apple a day do appear to use fewer prescription medications, but it's unclear if that has anything to do with fruit consumption.
Right. I think that's a larger one, though, because I think it's what they're trying to say is if you eat healthier, then you won't need to go to the doctor quite so much. So yeah.
Well, in that era, because you said this was, I don't remember what year you said, eating fresh fruits and vegetables wasn't either as easy to get.
Yeah, access
or
wasn't
as common.
Much. Yeah.
Yeah. Because it just wasn't locally accessible unless you grew it yourself.
Yeah, you can't grow apples in Wales, as far as I know. Though I don't think the climate supports that.
Yeah.
So
not
that's
certainly year round.
No.
Although I will push back against the eating it right before bed, because consuming sugar right before bed, you know, that's not so good for you.
Keep reminding me, and one of these days I'll remember, Melissa. Just keep it up, please.
Okay, I'll try.
Doing the hard work here, Belle.
Just going to start sending you text messages. Yeah, put that sugar down.
It's probably the best thing you could do. And got one or two more here. I like this one, too. I know we didn't get into this. Spicy foods can cause ulcers.
No, we did not.
No.
This old wives' tale likely has roots in the idea that spicy food can sometimes upset or irritate one's stomach or mouth. According to Live Science, studies have shown that spicy food won't cause ulcers, although it can irritate existing ones.
That makes sense.
Yep.
It really does make sense, yep.
And how often do we not even know we have an ulcer? You know, like that
great
kind
point.
Of thing. So I could see where that alone could have created this little wise tale.
Right. And I can say, you know, I love spicy food, but I no longer have a gallbladder. That means that breaking it down, I if I do it, it's like heartburn.
Yeah.
It's like, heartburn city, but yeah.
Ulcers are actually often caused by a bacterium called Helicobacter pylori, not food with a kick. And don't ever ask me to say those words again.
No, we won't. That's fine.
Never saying those words in my
you
life
did it.
Again.
Good job.
He's digging his own grave here because he keeps doing this stuff.
I know. I don't know why I do this to myself.
You pick these topics, James.
Yeah. I got nobody to blame. Have you guys heard the one about cats having this urge to like smother babies or those kind of things? I don't think I've heard that one before. This idea has its roots like 300 years ago to a 300-year-old case, which a child was supposedly found dead because of a cat-related strangulation. The myth also came from the idea that babies oftentimes have a milky breath that feeding and cats might smell it. Research has debunked this over and over and over and over and over. There's no history of this. In fact, they have found that it's not just dogs that take a protective ship of babies. Almost all of the animal kingdom does this, especially our domesticated animals. Cat, dog, if a rabbit could do it, it would probably do it as well. It is an animal's instinct. I see a baby, I'm to protect it.
Protect it. Right?
I am to raise mm-hmm. it. And that's why you see so commonly in stories seeing, mm-hmm. You know, we had this story yesterday, Terry and I, of the whale having another whale that they was raising, you know. things like that happen yep. all the time in the wild, certainly mm-hmm. all the time in shelters and at sanctuaries mm-hmm. where it's almost vital to doing that kind of work where mm-hmm. a duck takes care of a little squirrel or something like that.
We've
like,
seen lots of examples of that, yeah.
And usually it always happens on accident. It doesn't always happen because, mm-hmm. the zoologist thinks these two would pair well together. They got the similar, they have the same comedy. You know, they both like the same jokes, so they're going to get along fine. It just happens by accident sometimes.
Yeah. Sudden infant death syndrome was it's not very well understood. And 300 years ago, it was certainly not understood mm-hmm. at all.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
A cat being close to it would obviously...
Oh, no.
Yeah. We for a little behind-the-scenes look here, everybody, we're fighting with Clean Feed today.
Yeah.
We cannot seem to... We just in the last hour, just can't seem to keep
We've been
Melissa
having trouble
on.
Keeping Melissa on here.
Yeah. Yeah.
We've hit it very well, I have to say.
We I mean, it's hard to do the show without her, really.
Yeah,
it
right.
It really is. She's kind of... we're going to keep
doing... disappear.
Yeah, no, you're back.
There
you're
she
back.
Is. There
here
she
I
is.
Am.
Okay.
I don't know why. You keep going away. This is the second time.
Yeah.
But yes, heat escapes out the top of your head. That's why cats sit there.
Okay.
It's there warm.
We go. There we go. Nicely done, Mel.
By the way, can we give we've I think we've established on this show, if nothing else, that cats are smarter than us.
Yes, yes.
So they're not going to be cat breath of a baby smells like Mel. Yeah. No, cats are too smart for that.
Right,
give me a break.
Yeah.
Come on.
I mean, cats like only want it if you opened it in the kitchen. It's like little kids and cats. That like dog is going to come running no matter what.
Yeah, you're
like,
right.
It doesn't matter. But a cat, right. like they have perfect hearing for that snack that they love or that yogurt mm-hmm. or whatever.
Whatever it is.
And they can tell the difference between a cat food can and a can of beans.
Yeah.
You better believe it.
Yeah. So I have a hard time believing that they're going to just whimsically follow along at the faint smell of milk.
No. Cats are too smart for that.
Finally, one more that I'm not that familiar with. If you eat a watermelon seed, that means the fruit will grow inside of you.
Oh, come on.
You're not that familiar with that?
No.
I was told that all the time as a kid.
Okay.
I heard it a few times, too.
Oh, I don't think I've heard this one, huh? The origins of this old wives' tale are unclear, and the idea that eating a seed could grow a watermelon in your stomach just isn't true. Per Spoon University, watermelon seeds will likely just pass through your body without being digested. They generally won't cause you any harm, and they definitely won't cause a watermelon to grow inside of you. Now, I should preface this. Are you a farm? Are you a farm? Are you soil? Because if that's the case, then I apologize. I'm so sorry. Then, yes, you probably will grow watermelons.
You know, watermelons are known for growing in acid. You yes. know, come on.
Now, as far as growing inside of your body, there something could grow in your lungs.
Yes.
No, that's true. Mm-hmm. You don't want
because
it to be in your lungs.
It's not acid. Don't inhale any watermelon seeds.
Yeah. Or anything, for that matter.
Or anything. Correct.
It's probably a good call.
Aspirating things is not a good thing. That's not good at all.
Typically not.
I don't know. These are so much fun. There's so many of these. Can we do one more? Can we
yeah,
do one
sure.
more? Okay.
Sure.
All right. So feed a cold, starve a fever. Mm-hmm. How about that one?
Oh, yes.
Especially
I've heard this one.
Commonly.
Yeah, and this time of year and everything. Mm-hmm. I thought this would be a good one to wrap up on. When afflicted with an illness like the common cold, it's a natural response to lose your appetite. That makes the second half of this saying easy enough to comply with.
Mm.
As for the first part, being beyond chicken soup and maybe some Jell-O, eating well while ill can be a difficult task.
Mm-hmm.
Even drinking is hard enough that patients often need supplements, fluids when sick.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But hey, if it works, feed me the soup. I'll suffer through it. But this piece of outdated medical advice seems to come from the idea that eating can raise the body's temperature, something that could be beneficial in fighting off an infection.
Mm-hmm.
But detrimental if someone is already nursing a fever. It's also worth remembering that it was once thought that the common cold could be caught by exposing oneself to cold weather and that heat was a remedy. While it's true that eating can help raise your body's temperature, that's not the part of this aphorism that may be true. There mm-hmm. are some theories as to how and why starving yourself when ill may help you fight an infection, but not specific to a fever.
Interesting.
Yeah.
And that's really fascinating.
Absolutely important to see your medical professional, mm-hmm. somebody, the person you trust when it comes to this stuff, and especially anything that has the word starving in it. You know, that's not what our bodies are intended for.
No.
Please, we don't need bloodlettings to come back.
No
bloodlettings. We don't want that. No.
We do need to take a break. Poor leeches, though. You know, they have no. There was a point society.
They had one good use, and now they
had a really good use. People were like, "Hey, it's cool to be a leech."
Yeah.
Like, I'm a medical professional. I'm awesome. And you're like, wait, what's going on here? What, we're not using? What are we throwing me back in the swamp for?
No.
Oh, I see how it is. Okay, fine. You just wait until you accidentally stick your leg in here. We're coming for you.
Well, yeah.
Take a quick commercial break. Come back and have some more fun here at Mornings on WFHR, locally grown radio. Thanks a lot, Jennifer. Welcome back, everybody, to WFHR, locally grown radio. We hope you're having a great one out there. Next week, we got a ton of great things going on.
Oh, yeah.
Just want to preview a little of that for the audience. We've got great guests coming on for the chamber. We've got a couple of the chamber interviews we're going to be doing that we're looking forward to and talking to some of our local great businesses out there. Of course, next Wednesday, we have the WFHR Radiothon with our friends at the United Way of Southwood and Adams Counties.
Mm-hmm.
From 7 to 10:30, United Way takes over these airwaves.
Mm-hmm.
And we get to go ahead and just sit back and enjoy and have some fun talking to some of our favorite people and finding out such the great work that the United Way does in this area.
Mm-hmm.
It's deep, it's impactful, and it's fun. Cannot wait for you to join mm-hmm. us for that. It's also a great way to help the United Way continue to do the work that they're doing and maybe even expand that work and be able to do more mm-hmm. By donating and investing. And it's donation is a great word. Investment is a correct word, if you ask me, because when you're putting money into the United Way, that is exactly what you are doing. That dollar stays 100%. Every penny stays right in that county
mm-hmm.
or to the designated county that you want it in.
Right.
Mm-hmm. It's a unique thing, and it's a wonderful opportunity for you to be able to do some good without just sitting back and listening. Mm-hmm. You know?
Now,
we do want to say to businesses out there that we have a special offer for you, that if you make a donation, first up, if you want to make a donation and have it read on the air, let us know.
Mm-hmm.
You can make a donation that day by calling 715-421-0390. That's 421-0390. You'll get connected right to the United Way.
Mm-hmm.
No middleman, none of that in between. Just go right to the source. And then for businesses, if you make a minimum donation of $500 or a max of $1,000, WFHR will match your donation in advertising. And this is for new advertisements. I don't know if anybody noticed this or not, but we're getting closer and closer to Christmas.
Yes.
A lot of advertising going to be done right about mm-hmm. now. I can't think of a better time to start a new campaign.
Yeah.
Not only are you, again, getting the PR of helping the United Way, and let's not lose sight of that. That's not a bad thing. That's a good thing to do it too.
Mm-hmm.
You have that going for you, and as well, then you're getting double the advertising dollars. And mm-hmm. all of us in this industry can tell you that is worth more than it sounds like. I mean,
yeah.
It's already, it sounds like it's a great pie. It's a great thing to have. But man, it's more deeper than you even realize.
Absolutely. Mm.
You
got
hear
it.
The way we advertise around here. You hear, you think Misty's Menu is getting their money's worth? Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure they are. Yeah. Like, it's things like that that we do mm-hmm. around here. When you go local, we're able to do that. You go to some other conglomerate or something like that, and they're just going to give you a little bit a talking piece or something like
mm-hmm.
that. We give you real. We give you something that we're actually going to talk about these places, talk to these people.
Mm-hmm.
It's a great opportunity to do this. We encourage you to do it. And please help our United Way continue to do the great work that they're doing and join us next Wednesday for the United Way Radiothon.
Yep.
It's going to mm-hmm. be a fun one.
Yes,
7
indeed.
To 10:30.
Mm-hmm.
Also next week, coming up on Thursday, is the Lights of Love ceremony.
That's correct.
Okay. And really looking forward to this one this year, Seth. This mm-hmm. is so much fun. You're going to be emceeing this one, I understand.
I will be doing it this year. James, bless his heart, was there last year, nearly froze to death. And if you know how James is built, it's not very far for him to do that. But I'm gonna make sure I'm ready though. I'm gonna be like,
I'm gonna
have layers on just to make sure.
Heated socks.
But we will be broadcasting from WFHR live from 4 to 6, and that is going to be a lot of fun. We are going to be doing like a little pregame. We'll be doing interviews with the Spirus Riverview Foundation. They're the ones that are putting this on. It's a fundraiser for them, but it's also a great way to remember. To honor people.
Yes.
And when we get to the point where we light up the tree, it's an amazing It is such an amazing ceremony. We do encourage people to come out. It's free, of course. Mm-hmm. We do encourage, if it's too cold and you don't want to come out, you can just park in a lot. They've got a lot set up just for you. Turn on WFHR 97.5, 1320 AM. And you can follow the whole thing from right there.
Yeah.
Yeah, you can, if you want to, like Seth said, the tree lighting ceremony from your vehicle, you can go to the Aspire Serview Hospital parking lot, lot 4. Mm-hmm. I believe that's the one right across from the ER.
I believe that's correct,
right,
yes.
There. Mm-hmm. It's kind of cleared off for you anyway. Yep. It kind of looks like what we're talking about. And especially if you went to last year's ceremony, I believe it was same spot as last year. And that's a great tree. It was such a fun event last year. And we loved it. We enjoyed working with Aspire. Steph and I met with them a couple of times and you know, hammering all this out. But then the event happened. And I mean, even just thinking about it right now, you guys, I'm blown away by the mm-hmm. amount of people that showed up for that event on a kind of a crummy night, to be honest.
Yeah. Very windy, very cold. Yeah.
You couldn't tell. You couldn't tell. No. The turnout that we got for this event was incredible. Mm-hmm. I'm just so proud of this area when it comes to this one. Let's see. Let's show Aspire some love. Let's show our loved ones some love and be a part of this. This is a community tradition since 2001. Mm-hmm. As Seth said, this is a one that you can be a part of as well. For $3 each, anyone may purchase a light of love. There are also opportunities to donate on a silver level at $25 or a gold level of $100 in memory or honor of someone special. Businesses and organizations are also invited to be Lights of Love sponsors. You can purchase a light. Your Lights of Love may be purchased year-round and shine throughout the holiday season on the Lights of Love tree on the north side of the Aspire Serview Hospital, directly across from the emergency entrance. Mm-hmm. You can get order forms by going to aspirus.org. Just go to aspirus.org and you will find that. And you can also find out more by calling 715-421-7488. It's 421-7488. And again, join us next Thursday, November 17th. We'll begin at 5:30. Our broadcast, our MC over here, Seth, will be taking you through the whole ceremony right at WFHR right here, enabling everyone to listen from the comfort of your own vehicle.
That's right.
But you can still take that vehicle down there. And again, just one more time, and if you wish to gather near the tree, you can watch the tree lighting ceremony from your vehicle and listen to that warm voice of Seth.
I'll warm you up.
The Aspire Serview parking lot, that'll be lot 4. All are welcome. And a big shout out to Aspire and everybody who makes this happen.
Yes, indeed.
It's going to be a fun event.
It will be.
Mm-hmm. Get to Melissa's news now. We'll come back and have some more fun with some That Ain't Right stories and good stories of the day coming up here at WFHR. Serious comedy to start your day. Welcome back, everybody. Mornings on WFHR, locally grown radio, hopefully making you feel good out there. Melissa, Seth, and James here with you. Got some fun stuff to get to, and speaking of dancing and good beat, like that one from the Gorillaz right there, you can't be annoyed at that friend who only listens to house music or EDM anymore. That friend of mine who literally only listens to Chicago house music still. Like, yes.
Still?
Yes, still, man.
Wow.
Still. Won't let it go. Yeah. He's older than me. Yeah.
DJ Marksky.
A new study found that they can't help but dance to it. Researchers in Canada wanted to figure out why music with heavy bass makes us want to dance, and they went about it in a kind of weird way, but, you know, that's science. They brought special speakers to a techno concert to add even more bass to the songs, but they played it at a super low frequency that humans can't hear, as low as 8 hertz.
Wow.
When most of us can't hear anything below 20.
Mm-hmm.
The point was to see if it still made people want to dance more, and the answer was an overwhelming, huge yes.
Really?
Wow!
Yeah. Wow!
They turned it on and off every 2.5 minutes, and tracked people's dancing, including how much they bobbed their heads. The average person moved about 12% more when the bass was on.
Really? That's so cool.
I thought it was pretty cool. Yeah, they think it's because people subconsciously felt the vibrations of the bass. Mm. So even though they couldn't hear it, it still made them want to get on their good foot.
Wow.
Get on the good foot. It also shows that low vibrations and movement are just very strongly linked. So if you want to add energy to your next party, pump up the bass.
There you go. Blow out your speakers.
Mm-hmm.
I I mean, I like Dan's music. I like a lot of that stuff and everything. But I am immediately brought back to high school with that friend. And we all had that friend who had that crummy car. It, like, you didn't even know
that
how
was
he got
being
this.
Rattled apart by the bass.
But he had a speaker system that was, like, revolutionary.
It was worth more than the car.
Absolutely worth more than the car. The doors barely shut. But, boy, those speakers, you could hear the time that bass, like, defined.
Yep.
Like, immediately brought back to
everywhere.
That moment. Yeah,
everywhere. I think every community had at least one, at probably least several,
a couple, yeah. probably. Yeah, yeah.
I don't know. I think there's one in this community, and they like to drive past my house at about 1 a.m.
Nice.
You know,
this should be played at high
volumes. I'm gonna get out of bed and I'm waking up early to that.
What was that old thing there, that the announcer? This should be played at high volumes, preferably in a residential area.
Yeah, it's a good one. I don't know. When it comes to this kind of thing, I wonder, like, I'd like to see them try this same kind of thing where their bass isn't as prevalent, but still dancing is.
Yeah, that'd be interesting. You're right. Yeah.
I don't.
Well, the fact that they turned it on and off, I don't know about
Yeah, I think it's a well-designed experiment.
Yeah, they did a pretty good job. I think I would have separated that time span a little bit more. Because people got to take breaks when they're dancing.
They do.
Yeah, yeah.
Sometimes.
We're not 24-hour party people here?
At our age, Seth? Yeah, I don't know.
I was never one of those anyway.
I was going to ask. I was going to ask off-air, to be fair. I was honestly, but I was definitely going to ask you about
Take
that.
Take one look at me, James, and tell me you didn't already know the answer to that.
I did have a little
Come
bit
on,
of
you
a...
You used to be a wedding DJ, Seth.
Right? That's true.
No, I wasn't. I was never a wedding DJ.
Oh, no. You know what she's doing? She's mixing you up with Tim.
That's, I am.
Yep.
But you did wedding something, didn't you?
I was in the bar department at a convention center. I did lots of weddings, but I was not the DJ.
Yeah. Okay. There you see.
And with your music knowledge, I just,
It would follow, right? Right. It would follow that I was something like that, yeah.
Absolutely, yeah. So we're going to go ahead and take a quick commercial break after that one. We'll come back with some good stories, then write stories. Plenty more coming up for you right here, mornings at WFHR. Welcome back, everybody, to Mornings on WFHR, locally grown radio. Seth, James, and while we got her, let me double check. Yes, Melissa's
here
with us.
I'm here.
Having a little bit of issues with our going behind the scenes here and everything, but everybody's been working through it. Shout out to both of you. Nice work. And you didn't want to miss this, because this That Ain't Right story is an interesting one, all right. Is this bad parenting, or are people overreacting? Mm. A mom in Iowa posted a TikTok video after she and her husband took their kid to Hooters for his fifth birthday.
Oh, boy.
His name is Xander, and I knew his name would be Xander.
Yes, it would be him.
And for what it's worth, it looks like he had a really good time. The waitress did a birthday thing where he had to stand on a chair and flap his arms like a bird when they sang to him. Just little kid stuff that he just ate up. He loved it all.
Yeah, right.
Keep in mind, again, he is five. He is not even years away from puberty and all that.
Right. Exactly.
The New York Post did a write-up with the headline, Mom Blasted for Taking Her Son to Hooters. But most of the TikTok comments are very positive, actually. A lot of people made jokes like Living the Dream or the dad got to choose the restaurant this year.
That's a good one.
Other people claimed it's just a normal birthday in more rural spots that don't have a ton of restaurants.
Options.
Good point.
One person joked it was the day Xander realized video games were lame.
That's a good one.
That's a good joke. A lot of people in other countries have also commented, though, and seem surprised and borderline shocked that they would do this. I will say, I would not do this. I'm not in favor of this, but I will say right away, we are also from the generation where our parents sent us to places where we had this stuff that wasn't really pizza we were eating, really was it pizza, while we're watching these electronic animals like barely come to life and freak us out and everything. So much so that as I have learned being around younger people now, that they turned it into a video game that is incredibly successful in the Five Nights at Freddy's.
Yeah,
I am so behind on that one. I've just in the last year heard more
about
this.
Still having nightmares about Chuck E. Cheese, James, I don't recommend FNAF to you then.
Right, right.
Because you might actually have nightmares from Five Nights at Freddy's.
Yeah, you would.
It's like the only thing that messed with me as a kid. Like, I'd walk down dark alleys in South Chicago in the projects and not feel as weird as sitting next to those darn electronical animals that were just falling apart. You knew they were going to catch on fire. Like, felt like they were going to catch on fire
at any
moment. The
Uncanny Valley right there, yeah.
So I don't know if I can really say a whole lot about what this set of parents did. I will wholeheartedly admit, I've been to Hooters twice in my life, and I don't get it. The food was horrible
either.
To me.
The food wasn't great.
Unless they want to sponsor with us. No, I'm joking. I didn't. I thought the food was lame. I thought it was bad. And and the waitresses looked so fake. Like that they were not having a good time.
Oh, see, that's the worst.
They all did a good job of doing their job, getting the order right, all that. But not a darn one of them looked comfortable, and none of them looked happy. And that, to me, is not sexy. Like, there's nothing attractive about that. And I'm one of these people, too, and I'm just saying this stuff for me, because I'm not, I show my bias here of this subject here.
Right, right.
I'm not the type. I don't want to combine that stuff with my food. I don't see that combination. No point in my life if I've ever been like, boy, am I hungry and I want to be taunted. I want, you know, how can I do both at the same time?
That's a good way of putting it.
It just makes no sense to me. I understand to each their own, and
right.
I don't mean to sound judgmental. If I do, I swear I'm not judgmental
about
this. But for me, I would never even think about doing something like going myself, even alone, you know. Taking my 5-year-old to it.
I have a question for you guys, because I've only also visited a Hooters like one time, but do they hire male waiters?
I doubt it.
I don't, you know, I've never been to one. I've never had a desire to go to the Hooters, because first of all, I don't think it's that, like you guys have said, the food isn't good. What's the point of going to a restaurant where the food isn't good? I really don't see the point there. Second of all, It's to the point now, Hooters has been around for long enough. You know, it's become like background noise.
Yeah.
It's like vaguely sexual wallpaper. You know, it's one of those things where it's like, it's so apart.
I love that description.
So good. So good.
It's
vaguely.
It's one of those things where it's like, you don't even notice it anymore. Maybe you like the wings there, and you go to Hooters because you like their wings. But it's not because of the waitresses.
Beer.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. They have it's happy hour, you know.
Yeah.
And you get a good deal on beer, you know, whatever.
I want to open
any place. Go ahead, James.
I want to open a restaurant called Respectors. That it's just a restaurant where all the waitresses are dressed in like sweatpants and like dressed really down. Just come in how you feel.
That would be awesome.
Come in, excellent food. You have amazing food.
Yes,
and they have great personalities.
Yeah,
exactly.
Interact well with their customers. Yes. They're not hired because they have something on their chest.
Right.
Yeah. Right. Exactly.
And to your question before, Melissa, Hooters dodged the adherence to an all-female waitstaff model continues, even though the Civil Rights Act of 1964 clearly states that's discriminating
that's
hiring or choosing people of one sex over the other for a particular job is unlawful. Hooters has successfully defended its ability to only employ female waitstaff. I don't know how the legalities of
whatever.
That and how they have, but somehow they have. I don't know.
I wonder how much longer they'll be around in the model that they're in.
Yeah.
Well, especially it's just what Seth was saying. I mean, it's just not as popular anymore. It doesn't really like it really whatever it had going for it burned out a long time ago.
It did.
Ago.
It really did. Mm-hmm. You know, the kind of naughtiness when it was first come out, like, ooh, you know, hoo-hoo, but now it's like, eh.
If it was a business model that was working, other people would be doing it right now.
Right.
Like, there's a reason that you don't see a whole lot of this in our
system.
No,
you don't. You don't.
There was a little bit, like, when Hooters first came about, there was a couple of, like, the B Hooters, like, things. Like, there was a kilt one.
The tilted kilt.
Yeah. Things like that. Like, now...
That's a little more... what's the word I'm looking for? It's a kind of a
theme?
Cute play on words.
Yeah, theme.
Yeah, right.
More of a
theme restaurant thing.
That.
Yeah. And I don't know. I mean, look, I'm an adult. I understand sex sells. Like, look, I'm not saying that, oh, get away, like all that of society or anything like that. But we're seeing more and more that just doesn't. Well, like similar to what we were talking about with attack ads and aggressive, even just aggressive ad campaigns, not even just political stuff. But they just don't. it doesn't get the results that these advertisers and these businesses want. It usually has the opposite effect.
Or they claim, yes. They say that, which is a big problem, because right now you got advertisers saying, I can bring you anything.
Right.
No, you can't. Right. You cannot do that. I'm sorry.
So let's just theorize for a moment how they could pivot and keep their business still alive.
Oh, good. Oh, okay? I like this. Yes.
So what if they only served chicken breasts?
Oh, I like it. Yeah.
And you know, because there's a multitude of different ways that you can prepare a chicken breast.
Mm-hmm.
Yep, okay, yep. Or the wait staff, men and women of all ages, had to wear T-shirts that had animal breasts on them.
Oh, yes.
Cow udders and yeah.
I like it.
You know, I think there's a couple of ways they could pivot this and still stay in business and actually maybe bring in more customers, because they'd be serving good food they wouldn't be discriminating.
I would lean into the owl thing.
Yeah.
Let's just go to the owls.
Yes.
You know, because
the
Hooter actually do owl themes.
It doesn't last very long, but for a stretch, they have this period where all their waitresses dress up in these ultra realistic owl costumes.
That might be creepier.
Yeah, yeah, where, yeah, that's because that's why it doesn't last very long.
It's like oh God, no, that's creepy.
Yeah, especially like when they have something on there where the head can spin. Like, yeah.
Oh that, God, would you like some owl pellets?
Big glasses that make their eyes look like owl eyes.
Oh, perfect. You're welcome, Hooters.
All these ideas, man.
Yep, we just saved them.
Saving your business model.
Yep, you're welcome. I did not hear. Thank you.
If you'd like to advertise with us, just get in touch.
Yes.
Contact Steph Schmidt.
That's right. Good story of the daytime, and we got some local good stories that we want to touch on. Seth, first, I want to remind people about the Great Green Bay giveaway going on right now.
The New Year's Day Green Bay giveaway happening right as we speak here. The winner will get two tickets to the January 1st game. That's right, New Year's Day. Mm-hmm. Packers versus Vikings club tickets. These are nice tickets, so we're not scrimping on this one. Mm-mm. If you would like to enter, we've got several places you can go to register at their Dropbox locations. Not only do you get a chance to win a $50 gift card from that business, you also will become a qualifier for the big giveaway. The places you can go: Hoozles at the Lakes in Rome. In Wisconsin Rapids, we've got La Taqueria and Jennings. And in Nakusa, we've got Piggly Wiggly. Registration will close November 28th, and the winner will be announced on the 30th. One registration per person, per location. This is going to be a lot of fun, everybody.
Yeah.
So we encourage you to go to some of these places. We know you're going to go there anyway.
Mm-hmm.
So go ahead, register, and then possibly get those tickets.
Yeah, buy local, support local, and get in on this, everybody. It's a really fun one. Coming up at 11 a.m. on Veterans Day, we got some Veterans Day activities. It kicks off at 11 a.m. at the Veterans Day ceremony. This will be at the East Junior High School Fieldhouse. Keep that in mind. You can enter off of 6th Street that use that entrance. Mm-hmm. Ceremony is followed by the chili feed at the American Legion Post 9 at 140 Love Street. At 1 o'clock, you got the Wood County Veterans Memorial Ceremony at Wisconsin Rapids Performing Arts Center. That's at 16th Street South. Again, that starts at 1. And the spaghetti dinner from 4:30 to 7 at the Donald J. Knuth Memorial Hall at VFW Post 2534 at 2711 Redden Road. Just a big thank you to everybody pulling on doing these events, doing this stuff, helping us celebrate our veterans.
Yes.
Let them know how much they mean to us and appreciate them.
Mm-hmm.
And certainly by doing things like going to the VFW spaghetti dinner, you're putting back into your community. Mm-hmm. You're helping them continue to do great work that they're doing over there.
Yes.
It's a great opportunity to make some eye contact, talk to some of our veterans, and you know, let them know right face to face, hey, thank you. Appreciate you. Where's the spaghetti? Where you know,
plus you get spaghetti. All you can eat spaghetti, right?
Ooh, yeah. I miss spaghetti.
Win-win.
Oh, poor Melissa.
And if I could just add on to that, do a little bit of homework on veterans' causes, things that affect our veterans.
Yeah.
Take a look at, and it may shock you, of how many of our veterans are homeless, how many of our veterans are struggling to put food on the table, how many of our veterans are struggling from so many different things, from PTSD to
addiction,
so much a homelessness, so many of these other things. These individuals deserve our respect and deserve our care.
Yep.
Let's have some empathy about this part of our society a little bit more.
Yeah.
Coming up November 15th, come join us for a ribbon Christmas wreath class. Tuesday, November 15th from 6 to 8, create a beautiful 16-inch wreath for your home with step-by-step instructions by wonderful Mary Beth Severin. All supplies are provided, but you must pre-register. Registration is open now at wiactivereg.com. That's wiactivereg.com.
Cool.
Or give the Parks and Recs Department a call at 715-421-8240. This will be taking place at with our friends over at the Lowell Center Art Room in the Centralia Center.
Very cool.
It's a really fun event. That's a really cool one. Enjoy that, everybody. Enjoy your day, everyone. We're out of this political season. I know there's another one right around the corner.
Of course.
I know a lot of that stuff is. Take a breath. Take a breath and just enjoy life. Just enjoy. Get out. You know, I know it's crummy. It's getting crummier and all that. Still, get outside a little bit if you can. Enjoy it and stuff. And take in some great activities, you know, in our area. Get outside a little.
Lots to do.
Enjoy.
Lots to do.
Yes.
Yeah.
Want to thank both of you for the time today. Thank you so much. And again, a shout out to both of you for the work over this week. Seth covering the news for Melissa.
Thank you, Beth.
Melissa, the great work you did on the news. We appreciate
indeed.
You.
Yeah, thank you. Great job. Call out to all the team throughout Civic Media.
Big
awesome
shout
job,
out.
Everybody.
Yeah. Did a great job.
We'll take a break right here and come back with Morning Magazine. You guys be good to each other and meet us right back here for more Mornings at WFHR tomorrow, starting at 7, here at 97.5 FM, 1320 AM, WFHR.